Ladies and gentlemen, we did it! We did it! We did it! They said it couldn't be done, but we did it! Episode 5, second season, Beef Wine and Shenanigans. We are back. That's right. That's right. We did it again. Ladies and gentlemen, SVP, the Dark Humor Man, Stephen Van Patten. That's the government name. That's right. That's like, right. That's
no milk?
Right. Was it just well, Charlemagne no the God. It's like Charlemagne the God.
Charlemagne.
I'm trying
true.
New shit.
I got you.
I'm trying new shit.
I like that. Charlemagne the God. Okay, go ahead. This is the Dark Humor Man.
And I'm here with...
Mark Abbott.
And...
Kirk, the ludicrous one.
Fantastic. All right.
I didn't think he knew who he was.
No, he was like, well, we going to have nicknames.
Right.
I see what he was doing.
Oh, we're doing nicknames?
Peter Parker.
Peter
Parker. You could be Friendly Neighborhood Mark Abbott.
Friendly Neighborhood
Mark Abbott. There it is. All right. Okay. Friendly Neighborhood Mark Abbott.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. So.
Yes.
Gentlemen. So we had a 2-hour extravaganza that we posted last week, so we're going to keep this one to an hour.
Okay.
I'm going to tell everybody that up front. All
right.
Because people were like, yo, son, that was almost as long as The Irishman.
wow.
And yeah, it's because people had to come back to it.
Yeah, like, there,
you know,
there it is. Like
their kids walking in a room, and we're up there, yay, motherfucker! Mommy waits for breakfast! Oh my God, oh my God! You know. So we're going to try to keep it to an hour tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Besides, we have literary things to talk about.
Yes.
Oh, we're.
Yes.
That we're not going to be recording because... Hey, I didn't get a harumph from that.
Hey, get him a harumph.
Yeah. Anyway. So, a lot. And I mean...
Oh, word.
A boatload of trailers landed.
Mm-hmm.
Some of which I literally just watched 10 minutes ago. And let's jump into that because people are going to be out spending a whole lot of money, I think. Especially if they go to the Alamo Draft House and get them some bear wings.
Yeah, that's...
Because that's what I do.
Yeah.
Just so I can be someplace where people aren't talking. Yo.
How many jobs do you need to have to be able to keep up with what goes on now in the media?
Between the streaming services?
Yeah.
Here's the funny thing. I hear people say that. You know what? I'm getting rid of my cable. And I'm going to just get streaming services. It's probably by the time you finish getting all those streaming services, it'd be about as much as you paying for cable.
Pretty much.
And you still can't watch all of that stuff.
Right.
Like, what you call it now, had the audacity to package Disney Plus and Hulu together. There's like a package deal plus ESPN.
Wow.
That's a whole lot.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole lot of...
That's called Monopoly.
I mean, it's called something.
It's playing to your strengths, and the crazy part about it is 3 years from now, I'm giving it three. I'm going to give them credit, since I sometimes work for Disney. I'm going to give them credit and say that they're going to give it 3 years before they come up on us all like a crack dealer, basically, and be like, see, man, check this out. That $6 is cool, you know what I'm saying? But I ain't really doing that with that $6. You want this Star Wars? You want these superheroes, man?
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have to come up with this coin, son.
Well, especially because here's the thing. They haven't even began to break into the Fox Vault.
Oh dear God!
Yeah, we've got Aliens. We got Predator.
Wow.
We got.
I heard they still the streaming service is still being built.
Yes,
like a lot of stuff is still being
built. Dude, it's like an airplane being built in the air. But it's flying well. Okay,
wow. So it's like Mr. Supremium. His ascot's wearing an ascot. My phone hasn't even been invented yet. How do you keep up with all of this? And then
you don't sleep. That's the main thing.
And then, like I mentioned before, like do you got things like the CW has an app? Now, there's not even an on-demand anymore. And doesn't DC have an app?
Yes.
Like, DC has an ass. They have, like, a whole
streaming service. Yes, Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey.
And it has a Harley Quinn cartoon that's apparently an R-rated cartoon. Because they're like, this was supposed to be for kids, but kids don't have money. So we're going to make some R-rated Harley Quinn stuff.
Right, for young adult boys.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And, I mean...
And there's whispers. There are whispers.
Mm.
Don't know.
What are you talking about?
Whispers. That they're actually going to do a live action Batman Beyond with Michael Keaton playing
old Bruce Wayne. But who's going to play Terry?
I don't know.
I'm curious about that.
I don't know. But they're
maybe the kid from Stranger Things. Because he's been in everything.
He's been in everything already, right?
Oh my god!
Oh, that kid's been
lucking up. He's
hey, give it a tell, Lawlin. Hey, everybody else from that damn that movie franchise got moved on. Give Taylor a piece.
Wow!
Plus, he looks like a Terry.
Nah,
he actually looks like the cartoon version of Terry.
I can see that. I can see that.
More so than Patton does look like Bruce Wayne.
What do you mean? What are you talking about, Kirk?
I have a question for Kirk.
Uh-oh.
I have a question for Kirk since we're talking about the streaming service and the trailers and stuff. Your thoughts, sir, on the new Ghostbusters?
Dude, I am not feeling it.
Really?
I saw it. I watched it.
And we're basing this on the trailer.
And we're basing it on the trailer. But I saw it, and I was at a point where I was like, I'm usually pretty easy on, oh, why are they remaking this? Why did they show my child? I'm pretty much like, hey, relax. It ain't for you anyway. It's for your kids.
Right.
Because your kids ain't watching the old stuff because, as far as they're concerned, that shit is barbaric.
Right.
Right, they want some new. They want their own, and that's how they're gonna roll. I understand that.
Right.
Oh my God, Michael Caine, we canceled him.
I'm saying, hey, look, I'm sorry, real quick on off tangent. There's a young cat at my job who works video, who's an EIC, an engineer in charge. Mm-hmm. For y'all who don't know,
right?
He has never seen any Mel Brooks movie.
What?
He has not seen any of the Mel Brooks movies, and he's in his 20s. I'm just saying.
That is called bad parenting.
That's good. A lot of bad parenting going on in this here world now.
No, but I mean, and not to cut you off, but see, I have a theory about all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the theory is this. Back in the day,
yes,
when you were being raised in a household, you didn't have as much control. You didn't have gadgets. You didn't have headphones.
Competition.
You didn't have...
For attention.
Right.
Competition
so
for attention.
What
right.
would happen is you would have to watch, listen to, absorb what the fuck your parents wanted.
Yeah.
Right. Understood.
Hence, among other things, my expanded knowledge of Barry White and Shirley Bassey and Al Green. Because... Right. That's what my mom's was rocking in the house.
I'll put an addendum on that, too, because, you know, I grew up oldest child and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and my parents didn't listen. You know, I had to pick up on Barry White and Melvin Moore on my own later on in life because they was into something totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, and when it came to movies and video, right? We grew up in a point in time where there wasn't so much of a competition in terms of the visual medium.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So right now, between movies
and
television,
you only had six channels.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Movies and television now with cables and everything, there's so much stuff that's going on for a child's attention. It's going to get got. Mm-hmm. Back in our time, like you said, there's six channels.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And sometimes those channels just play old movies anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you get exposed to that stuff.
Right.
That's right. So well, now, to Ghostbusters, it just felt like it. This actually feels more like a cash grab to me than anything else. At this
Especially
point.
Since we just had an all lady Ghostbusters.
We just
like
had an all lady
5 days ago,
but, right? That did very not well at all.
And here's the interesting.
True.
I want to piggyback on something.
And I wanted to see that movie too.
This
I didn't hate that movie.
No, I didn't either. I thought it had a different flavor.
I was disappointed that the comedy was not as. That maybe there's one or two people in that entire cast that were actually funny in that role.
Leslie,
you know,
and
Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy, and who's the crazy one with the blonde hair?
Oh, the one that looked like Egon.
Yes.
She's the one that plays
Kate. Is it Kate?
I can't remember her name.
She kills it on Saturday Night Live every night. Yeah.
And I was sad that
her Giuliani, and her Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren.
She was like, I'm like,
well, everything.
She's like, I'm like a brisk walk. I'm like, oh no.
That first SNL.
Mm-hmm.
Side note: that first SNL. That Dave Chappelle hosted,
yes,
right after Trump got elected.
Mm-hmm.
I was there.
Oh,
her at the piano.
Yes,
on the piano as Hillary singing Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. She did it.
And
she killed.
I gotta tell you, I was like, what the hell is the woman's name?
You know what?
Yeah.
We'll look.
We're gonna look it up.
Here's the thing that's interesting about this film.
Okay.
First one,
mm-hmm,
it's written and directed by the son of the original director, Ivan Reitman.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's Ivan Reitman's son, who, incidentally,
mm-hmm,
played the child at the birthday party that lays them out.
Oh, shit.
In the second film.
In the Ghostbusters.
In the second film. Like, true, you know, saying, my dad said, you guys are full of shit. That's one. Two.
Kristen Wiig.
Yes, Kristen Wiig. Two, it looks like somehow we're getting away from the comedic aspect,
yeah,
of Ghostbusters, and that's probably primarily because the original Ghostbusters was written by Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis,
oh right, yeah,
which was supposed to be a comedic venture vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see. I will say this: if you never played the video game.
Mm-hmm.
The Xbox Ghostbuster video game was extremely scary. It actually was, to play it, there were sequences that were extremely frightening.
Mm. There's a video game?
Yes, which some fans consider Ghostbusters 3.
Okay.
Because it actually has the original cast in it. I just don't know what direction he's meaning to go with this. Like, if this is supposed to be a new group of people picking up the mantle,
right?
I guess because they're children, from what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even though they've apparently thrown in Paul Rudd.
With Paul Rudd.
Well, Paul Rudd.
He's like
he's our age.
Yeah, he's a comedic guy.
He's probably the comedic foil.
Right.
So, exactly. I'm like you. I was excited to hear that they were going kind of back to their roots. Not that I didn't like the all-female cast. I thought, I really enjoyed that film. The person in that movie I didn't like was, what's his name? Thor.
Chris Hemsworth?
Yes.
Hemsworth.
I thought my problem with him, because he was supposed to be sort of like the quote-unquote ditzy blonde.
Yes, right.
It kind of got away from him.
It was a joke that was too obvious.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where it's like, okay, we always have these movies where it's four or you know, however many really like, you know, strong leading men, and then we have a lady that's there for window dressing. Mm-hmm. So
the producers.
They did the, okay,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So they flipped that,
mm-hmm,
but
they reimbursed it,
right?
Yeah,
but they flipped it, but it that's funny. They flipped it, but it
he was wasn't too obvious.
Subtle.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It could have been
somebody else to do that.
Well, also,
well, he wanted to, and he really enjoyed
it. And I want to go back to the point that you kind of satellited around a little bit. Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis wrote the first Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, let's acknowledge the fact that there's not a whole lot of Dan Aykroyds and Harold Ramis's in the universe.
Right, that's true.
So
right.
The mere mortal that then has to sit there and try to come up with a concept for a go. It's like,
wow.
What, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
And again, go into a few things. Go into Vampire in Brooklyn. And we've talked about, I remember one of our past episodes, you told the Wes Craven story about him going to Eddie and being like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that thin line between horror and comedy and you wanting to do both simultaneously, that shit takes skill.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and
it does.
Years
and of practice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that it right.
Yeah.
So, and the thing is, Ghostbusters is not a scary movie per se.
No.
But it gets the point across when there's actual menace.
Yeah.
Like, as ridiculous as the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is, you're sitting there in the theater realizing, yeah, he's about to kill these motherfuckers.
Right. He can kill them.
He could kill them. Right.
I have to say this. The scariest part of Ghostbusters is the conversation that Winston has with...
Sigourney Weaver.
No. Winston and Aykroyd's character. What was his...
Venkman?
No, Venkman no. was...
Venkman was Murray. Bill Murray.
Spangler.
Egon.
Ray and Winston are coming back from a job.
Yeah.
And they start to talk about Judgment Day.
Right.
And the end of the world. And it gets really dark and serious when he talks about, I remember my mother reading to me in the Bible and the seas ran red with blood and all of this other stuff. And it gets to that moment where you're just like, oh... Yeah. So, because he says to him, what if why we're so busy is because Judgment Day is upon us. And it's just that moment in the middle of the movie where it gets really, really serious. Mm-hmm. And even now when I think about the fact that who was supposed to play Ernie Hudson's character, which was supposed to be Eddie Murphy, I really don't think that scene would have gone over well with Eddie Murphy.
No, you would crack the joke.
Well, because Eddie Murphy's Eddie, like to get into that moment.
Yeah.
But that actually scared the hell out of me. you know, because then you have to laugh after that.
Yeah.
Because you know when the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man shows up, and even when Gozer finally
comes out. And they did a great, they did a great job with
tone. So, I mean, I don't know if this was, I really don't know if this is son trying to pick up daddy's mantle and do something different with it. Or, I mean, to me, you know what this would be like? This would be like Joe Hill writing Dr. Sleep to Stephen King's The Shining.
Jonah Hill?
No, Joe Hill, which is Stephen King's son.
Well, to Kirk's point about this just being a cash grab, and mind you, we've just seen a trailer, which is, 2.5 minutes of the movie?
Yeah.
Little highlight reel, whatever you want to call it. To Kirk's point, I had a hard time differentiating tone from a random episode of Stranger Things.
Okay.
And not just because the kid is in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just the feel.
Yeah.
Just the overall feel. So, you know, when Kirk called it a cash grab, it's like, oh, well. And I mean, you know, at the end of the day.
Stranger Things did well. Let's do a younger version of the Ghostbusters.
And they dressed as Ghostbusters.
Let's dress it up as
Ghostbusters.
Let's do Stranger Things, but dress it up as Ghostbusters.
Right.
Right.
Just like, I hate to say it, you know, the Joker is Taxi Driver
Yes,
dressed up as the Joker.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Wait. It's the Joker. No,
branding.
The Joker is taxi driver for incels.
Lord. Lord Jesus.
I'm just saying. I remember I watch it. I was like, huh.
All right, let's get into some trailers we actually liked. And I'm going to say right out of the gate. No Time to Die.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, I was so I was so hyped about that shit. I started showing motherfuckers at work. I was like, because we got into some random, I got into some random conversation with the young lady that does promos for Mel Robbins, is Kelly. And I was like, nah, son, you got to see this.
First of all, the fact that he came back.
He came back.
Because the last one was rumored to be his last.
Right. So, right. Yeah, yeah.
So the fact that
everybody in his personal life is probably begging him to keep fucking like, son. Like, he probably goes to fucking Whole Foods, Daniel. Hey, please. He's trying to pick out cantaloupes and shit. Yeah, hey, yeah, yo, I read it, people. You trying to, like, walk away from Dave's boss, son. Right. You can't do this, son. I'm saying.
He got a late night call from George Lazenby.
Really?
Make the same mistake I did.
He had to get rid of his Seamless account. The kid coming over to him.
Kid's coming to him. Martin Luther King's ghost is coming. If you're gonna be James Bond, be the best James Bond you can be.
That's some shit. That's
you know,
every James Bond trailer that he's ever done always has a moment in the trailer that is the defining, is the moment where you're like, yeah, we're there. Case in point, Skyfall. Was it Skyfall? Yes.
With the Spectre.
Spectre.
It was Spectre, right?
With the train.
Yes.
When he comes down off the crane and fixes the cufflink.
Yes.
You know what? You can't.
I'm done with you.
There is a shot in this trailer of him on the motorbike.
Yes.
Yeah. Going up the stairs.
And then.
And just over the crowd. And I'm like, you know what?
And ladies and gentlemen, as a motorcycle owner.
Oh my God.
Dude. I tell you right now. I'd have to be real fucking motivated to catch a motherfucker for me to try that. Dig up the trailer on YouTube in order to know what we are talking about. But son,
I am so excited.
Like, first of all, I couldn't do that with my bike. I would need something lighter. Yeah. But
You know, the funny thing is, you actually thought about it.
I thought about it. You're doing calculations in your head right now. But the thing is, I'm insane. So, yes, of course, I thought about it. And then, in my heart, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. But it was like, ooh, that would be just to be able to tell motherfuckers you did that.
Right. In the Bronx, too, up them stairs in the Bronx.
Right.
Oh, you want to play Joker? I do like the idea that
motorcycle stunt is bananas.
A lot older, a lot more tired.
Yes,
you know, but more rugged than you know. He looks better older James Bond than Sean Carney did as an older James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Never Say Never Again.
And see,
Sean Carney looked tired as fuck. Carney looked tired as fuck.
I got a point on that, but go ahead.
My thing is this, and I know people get on me about this, but until Daniel Craig showed up, Connery was my Bond.
Yes.
Me too.
No.
I mean, and I will say this.
Me as well.
Roger was more of my Bond because I grew up with him.
Right.
But Sean, I always put Sean at the top of the list until Daniel played him. Because Daniel's Bond is cold.
Yes.
That is and I will say that in Dr. No, I always believed that Sean played him as cold as he could. Mm-hmm. He was cold, but he had that kind of Daniel for some reason played him that in
Casino Royale.
Casino Royale.
Yep.
The girl on the beach.
Yes.
When he comes back and M says to him, I would say to you, divorce yourself from your feelings about this matter, but I don't think I need to say that to you. And he looks at her body and he's like, no, you don't. And he turns around and walks away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is...
That's a cold motherfucker.
This cold motherfucker.
I don't know.
Because how'd they kill that girl? They made her swallow gold? No, that was...
They strangled her. In the hammock.
In the hammock.
She was just dangling, arm dangling.
Right.
I am excited at the idea.
They did something to it at her skin suffocated, though, or something.
Okay, no, that's Goldfinger.
That's Goldfinger.
Two things I'm excited about.
I'm getting my murders mixed up.
For this new Bond movie.
Mm-hmm.
One is Lashana Lynch.
Yo. And yes. She ain't playing.
Hubba. Yeah.
Yes. She is not playing.
But the other thing is, I had to look up, make sure I got his name right. Carrie Joji Fukunaga. You might remember his name from True Detective. The first season.
Yes!
Yeah.
First
season.
Yes!
That's the man who brought that to life.
Oh my God.
Mm. But he also on his list, Beasts of No Nation.
Mm.
And I'm still too scared to watch that show. I'm actually too scared to watch that.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've heard already, and I have a limit of certain. My madness has a limit now.
Okay, all right.
But that alone, because after True Detective, after he did that for that season,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, no one talks about True Detective. It's in season 3.
Mm-hmm.
But Shaha Ali was in the third one.
Yeah,
I ain't hear nobody talking about it.
And I didn't hate the other season. Some people hated
the second season. One?
Like, real hate.
I didn't hate it either,
but...
It's just different.
But it wasn't... See, that's the problem. It's like, you set a bar.
Exactly. So
And that high. First season was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And once you set a bar like that, mm-hmm. when you can't hit that bar with the second season, that's like a rap dude with a sophomore album.
Yeah.
That, mm-hmm. you know, is wondering what happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, no, you're going to run the, you have to, you're gonna have to run like that jury back to Jacob.
You have
like
to, Rob Ace.
Yeah. You have to be
Mace.
You really have to be careful when you do those things. And I get it that, you know, you definitely want to hit it out of the park.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that people come back. Mm. And I mean, I know we're kind of getting off of it, but that first season of True Detective.
Yeah.
That scene when they were trying to get out of the ghetto.
Yes.
When the drug dealers were chasing from house to house to house to house. When I finished, I was so exhausted.
Yes.
From that episode.
Yes.
I didn't watch that show for like a week. I was like, Jesus Christ. Because I was like, damn it, I didn't think y'all were going to get out of there.
Yeah.
Like, I know I saw a trailer for next week.
But the tension was so real.
Like, that shit could have been all flashbacks and dreams.
Yeah, and that was all one continuous shot.
Yes.
Yeah.
No takes. It was one shot.
Yeah, so whoever's but on that, steady
and,
on that.
And that's just like going back to Bond.
Yeah.
Casino Royale.
Mm-hmm.
The chase.
Yeah, the parkour.
The parkour chase.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That was awesome.
Like...
That was like,
and then you turn around and have a chase at the airport, which is, I was like, how much more? Wow. Yeah, exactly.
Every time you
but again, like, it's like oh, yeah. set a tone.
Set a tone.
But the difference between True Detective and these James Bond movies is that, except for Skyfall, which kind of meandered a little bit,
what happened to Skyfall?
Well, it wasn't the Skyfall.
Javier Bardem, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
And it wasn't the Skyfall was a bad movie. Skyfall was. They took a pause. I felt like they were taking a pause to world build a little bit.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
To give us a little more about
it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was my take on it. Yeah. I have not hated any of them.
No.
Okay, but Skyfall, you know.
Quantum
of Solace
was...
I'm probably the only person in the world that really liked Quantum of Solace. And I'm not even, you know, it was just... Because it was... You know, and again, you know, they're like, okay, so that's another one that I guess there were some pauses and there was, you know, whatever. But
it wasn't the strongest of the group that Daniel has done.
Right.
You know,
overall, they set a bar.
Yeah.
And they stayed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And not, and since we're just sort of rambling about James Bond, even though I didn't know we were going to do that tonight, the songs, the opens for this run have all been spectacular.
They have, yeah.
Every last one of them. Every last
beautiful,
one of them.
Beautiful.
The Sam Smith song?
Writing
on the Wall.
That was a blend of classic Bond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And new, man, that was the perfect. The only other song that I thought perfectly, You Know My Name, from Casino Royale.
Chris Cornell.
Which literally
was an introduction
to the character. Mm-hmm. Like, that song told you everything you needed to know about Bond without mentioning his name, which incidentally, in Casino Royale, he never mentions his name until the very end. At the very end of the movie, when he shoots the guy, and the guy's like, "Who are you?" That's when he delivers the famous Bond.
You're right.
James Bond.
Oh, right.
He does ask for the martini. Well, they...
Well, the best part.
They give all the best part. Yes. But they never.
Yeah.
What's the next?
What? Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman 84. So. So. Let's.
How
suffice it to say.
A trade name, which is not in the 80s.
An 80s song, but...
It sounded 80s.
But millennials aren't going to know that.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Yeah.
I mean, unless they bother to look it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it me, or is she basically saving the DC universe? And I don't mean...
The cinematic universe.
The cinematic universe. Because everybody has...
Lightning from my hand.
Well, and we can talk about that, because I personally got a huge kick out of that, but... But, okay, we'll do that in a second, but... The trailer was fun. Trailer's action-packed.
Okay.
And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you can hear somebody say, oh, yeah, but this. Oh, yeah, but that. Yeah. But if you're a part of the culture, and by culture, I mean the nerd, blurred, whatever you want to, self-identify as. Right.
Mm-hmm. From way back when.
You're going to go see the fucking movie. So it's like you don't even... Like, watching the trailer is practically academic at this point, because all we got to do is know there's going to be a Wonder Woman movie, and we're going to be at the fucking theater.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Especially on the strength of the first one.
Yes.
Right.
Definitely.
So, in a way, you call that a cash grab, but...
Well, it's a proper cash grab.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like I'm being jerked for my cash.
Well, there you go.
I don't feel some dudes coming on my place. Annie up! No! I don't want to see Ghostbusters. I'm going to go here with my homeboy Charlie to see Wonder Woman.
And you know, and it's funny because I probably won't go see Ghostbusters unless,
You got a choice at the Cineplex. Oh, it's Ghostbusters. Hey, there's Wonder Woman.
But yeah, exactly.
Hey, you got another 4 hours to go to work. What are you going to do? I'm going to watch another movie. Oh, you going to watch Ghostbusters now? Mm. No, I'm going to watch Wonder Woman again.
No, I paid to see Wonder Woman. I snuck in to see Ghostbusters. Which you can't do now, because now they assign you.
I cannot do that now.
I pay my niece and nephew to go see it for me and give me a book report.
Or can you? Have you actually tried that?
Sneaking into the movie theater again?
Yeah. No, I guess not. It's not.
We at an age now where...
And that's true.
They shoot you in the back.
That bitch is embarrassing.
They shoot you with a taser. And they try to sneak into the
room. Taser.
We're a tech. Right.
I want to say something about that, though.
About
good taste?
No, not getting taste.
Who tased you, Mark?
Sons of bitches.
See, last week.
You know, Mark, no means no.
No, no.
You ain't a Bill Clinton.
Hey, now.
Yes.
I have to bring this up about the trailers because it just dawned on me.
Okay.
One of the things that's bothering me about the trailers is everything's online now. There used to be a time when you went to the movie theater.
Yes.
And a trailer, like, because we didn't know. You go to the movies, you come back, dude, I saw a trailer for Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
There's no Empire Strikes Back. No, I'm telling you, I went last night. Oh, my God, you got to see.
You know,
it's kind of like, I used to look forward to that, kind of. Mm-hmm. To go to the movies and see what's coming next.
Yeah.
And Ellen DeGeneres had a funny thing about that where she said it's the only time in the movie theater where you could judge certain things. The trailer comes out. Yeah, I'm not seeing that garbage.
Yeah, right. The
acting is horrible in that. I'm not.
Right. It's the only time you can actually be a legit critic. It's a trailer.
And now the trailers are all online and we all.
Immediately.
There's no more surprise to them.
No.
But,
maybe for millennials, but not for us.
I'm looking forward to
it. And that's, you know, and ultimately, that's the thing we end up having to kind of, like, suck up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not the target audience.
We're almost dead as far as companies are concerned.
You can't sneak into the movie theaters no more because they assign you seats. And so you can't just sit wherever you want.
Really?
Regal Cinema's doing it now.
Really?
This is they had to respond to the Alamo Draft House model.
Wow.
Yeah, that model. You know? That model. Although they haven't gone full model, they to be perfectly honest, on 23rd Street,
where Rollo and them be hanging.
Rollo, yes. This motherfucker. Wow.
Hey, cops!
Hey, Young Blood! What you doing there, Young Blood? You want to see a movie?
1998.
Yes.
I'm going to back this
1998.
Up. 1998 on 23rd Street.
Uh-huh. Oh, shit.
Between 8th and 9th, there was a small theater next to the BBQ.
Yeah, yeah.
They were the first in the city to do this kind of theater seating, they test piloted there. And I remember people got pissed because what do people like to do? Come late for the movie.
For the movie.
And suddenly you realize, oh my God, I now have to pick my seat. Or, like, I want to sit here. And this is before the whole computer setup and everything. So it's like, I want to sit in dead center. Yeah, those seats are gone. Right, spent 40 minutes standing there trying to find seats because every time they brought up the seat you wanted, they were gone. So
here we call that.
Alamo perfected that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only thing left now to follow the Alamo Draft House formula is to finally start kicking people out for running their mouth. Because that's the other problem. Like, even like now, Alamo is the only place where they will hem you up
and throw you out.
Regal still, like, you pick your seat, but I have gone since and had to deal with the people on the cell phone.
Wow.
People texting during the month. I still don't understand what the hell you got to text somebody in the fucking theater. But that's just me. You know, I'm a moviegoer, actually.
It's a different world now, dude. You know, like Fantasy Island. You know, the girl want a cell phone on Fantasy Island.
Oh, Jesus.
So, speaking of that.
Speaking of fantasy.
I'm just saying, since
Kirk allowed for that very nice segue. Yes, smiles, everybody.
Smile.
They don't look like they're smiling in that trailer, though, because.
What's this fantasy, Bob?
So, here's the thing. Fantasy Island. Well, first of all, once you see the Blumhouse logo.
You know what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait, what? And it's a horror movie?
Yes. Fantasy Island is a horror now.
Wow. I mean,
Fantasy Island was not too far away in certain episodes.
Certain episodes?
Yeah, certain episodes
That was probably
one of the
best spec fiction shows by Aaron Spelling.
But let's not forget. Yes. Remember my man, the dad from Brady Bunch. He wanted to be Dracula.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Wow, remember that cool. shit?
They had... They now, if I remember, well, wait a minute now.
Mm.
Twice I remember growing when watching Fantasy Island, mm-hmm. Mr. Rourke had to go up against the devil.
Yes, I remember that. Yes,
and mm-hmm. that's why they never explained what his power was.
They never explained who the hell he was.
They never explained, but I remember twice he had to go up against Satan himself.
All you know was a Spanish dude with an Irish name, Mr. Rourke. Not even like. It was like, you know, Julio Rourke. It was just Mr. Rourke.
I stab at thee.
I think the only thing growing up watching Fantasy Island I wanted to know was how much did you pay for those fantasy?
Yeah.
Because those things were like, I know they didn't come
pretty
cheap.
Elaborate yeah,
some
shit.
With dinosaurs in it.
People like, got thrown back to the dark ages.
Yeah.
There's one really good one about witches with Leslie Nielsen
yeah.
playing the Puritan priest that burned witches.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, you know Leslie Nielsen wasn't always comedy.
No. He was some
dramatic stuff.
So are we saying that Gandalf didn't die but became Mr. Rourke and opened up Fantasy Island? Because I'll buy that shit. I'll buy that shit. This book is Gandalf.
I'm just Jesus Christ.
That's awesome. They're
probably, you know what? In order for it to make sense,
he got to be wizard.
They're probably gonna throw something like that at it because, because
he's spooky in this.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah, he's spooky.
Well, we got no tattoo.
We got no tattoo.
That's true. Be saving it, or it could be that tall cat.
Or it was the woman that was supposed to be the second tattoos on and comes like the plane.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which woman, the sister,
the sister.
Yeah, yeah.
She's working yeah.
with the
Rourke.
Nosebleed.
Yes, in the last in the final seasons of Fantasy Island, tattoo was gone.
Yes, he was,
and they brought in a
British
lady.
Guy.
Yeah,
they had a British guy at one point, and then they had a young lady
in
there that came in there.
It would help Mr. Rourke, and he was turning gray. He was turning into Gandalf.
Watching the motherfucker at that point. All right, okay.
But I remember that. Yeah,
I'm
curious. But that's interesting.
But
then what's with the nosebleed?
That's some Gandalf shit. You got to talk to him about.
All right, okay.
Well,
we got to see the movie. The guy says
in the trailer that they were brought there for a reason. So maybe Rourke is trying to save his own life or...
Save her life.
No, it's kind of starting to feel like some Wishmaster shit, to tell you the truth. But.
Yeah. Oh, shit, man. Now, I wasn't really interested in watching this movie now. Now we got so many questions up. I gotta go see what this thing's about.
Yeah.
Now I gotta go see what's up.
I'm gonna check it out.
You made me go watch. Damn, you.
You're a grown man.
I am not a grown. I'm a grown child. I have one job. I don't pay for anything. I'm a child.
Differ, sir. I am a child with a bank account. This is what I
will have you to shut your mouth, sir.
And I say good day to you, sir.
But I say good day. I said good days.
So stupid.
What else? Oh, six. What was this one? Six Underground. Six Underground.
That looked interesting. I don't know if I care enough.
See, the thing is, and there's a trailer. Because you saw the trailer. But there's another trailer I saw today.
Okay.
That,
extended.
That introduced the characters like a real Mission Impossible shit.
Okay.
Like the brother is supposed to be the, an ops specialist.
Okay.
There's a spy, a thief.
Mm.
There was a spy, a thief.
An elf, A Valkyrie.
A Valkyrie.
I've not seen such bravery. Green elf is about to die.
You know what? I take it back. That shit is modern day D&D. That shit is a modern day D&D movie. By Michael Bay.
I'm sorry. I'm an asshole.
I'm a
Lucy.
You were absolutely right, though. I didn't think about it until you said it. I was like, huh. Oh, shit. I just can't get away from it.
It's a modern day gauntlet.
It's a modern day gauntlet.
You know, it's about
that shit is Baldur's Gate.
I've not seen such bravery.
Well, there's no elves in it, just explosions.
All right. Millennials and women that never entered a penny arcade back in the day, there used to be a video game called Gauntlet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why the three of us are currently amusing ourselves at the moment. I'm sure there's something on YouTube about it. So.
Yeah, check it out.
But basically, it's it was a four-person player video game.
A spy, and a thief.
It was an elf, a Valkyrie, a warrior, and a wizard.
And a wizard.
And you played with the wizard.
Right.
No, you played with the elf, the Valkyrie, or...
The dwarf.
Wasn't
there barbarian in that, too?
Yeah. The fighter, the warrior.
The fighter, yeah.
You stayed away from the warrior, the wizard, because he pretty much didn't do anything.
Right.
Well, the wizard was slow.
Yes.
The wizard was slow, and the thing was, while he was he was the best one to get the potion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's playing elf can move faster than everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I can't believe we're talking about this, but
you're a grown ass man. Look at my fantasy football.
I know, right? Exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
Oh my god, that was a crazy fucking video game. And the fucking thing about it is, if the four people playing the game, if you had four people with a whole bunch of money playing at the same time, you could have a fucking ball.
Yeah, you were there for a couple.
You
hours.
Think Centipede was fun?
Yeah.
Imagine you got a whole crew with you and everybody cooperates.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't get somebody trying to be a jerk.
Right, because sometimes what'll happen is you'll have somebody playing elf and they'll grab all the fucking food because they can get there before you.
Elf needs food badly.
Right. And they would call, but the funny thing about the game is they would call you out if you were fucking grabbing the food.
Green elf is about to die.
Exactly. Ah.
Wow.
Elf has eaten all the food lately.
Yes.
Is what they would say.
I've not seen such bravery.
Right.
Speaking of green elves, The Mandalorian.
Yeah. Oh,
do you want to talk about the last trailer, at least? One more trailer?
Which one?
Black Widow.
Oh, Black Widow.
Which I actually, when you told me there was a Black Widow trailer, I thought it was a trailer for the Disney Plus. Because I know there was a show that's that designed. I didn't realize it was an actual movie. And... Yeah,
I find it interesting that both Wonder Woman and Black Widow have prequel movies coming out at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's almost
Is Wonder Woman a prequel anymore?
It's 84.
Yeah, but that's when her original movie was a prequel. Her first movie was like a prequel, wasn't it? After
it was a prequel to the Batman versus.
Right, where she was in World War One.
No. I take that back.
That's part two, really.
Well, yeah, I guess I see your point.
Right,
but
because Black Widow's like a real prequel because she dead.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a prequel.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's a prequel. I mean, in my eyes, I guess it's a prequel because you know we've had Batman versus Superman.
Yes,
and.
Batman.
Now we've jumped back to 1984. So I'm just going back in what I've seen in the order that I've seen.
I see what you're saying.
I think that's why I kind of looked at it that way. But to me, it's kind of interesting because it's like, I almost want to say, is that the response to male fragility on fucking Twitter? You know, because...
Wow, dude.
But let's call it what it is, because now obviously not the three of us.
Are you trying to say because the incels got their Joker, the regular people should just get Black Widow?
Wow.
Real men watch Black Widow.
No.
Incels get the Joker.
No. I'm saying, I'm trying to start a fight. A lot of sensitive, triggered motherfuckers have been on the internet complaining. The second you know, good, bad, or indifferent, uh-huh. they've got something to say if a female-themed movie does well.
Yes.
They've got something to say if there's an Asian girl in a Star Wars movie. It's like, yes. we've seen mm-hmm. some horrible literal over the past couple of years now.
Yeah, we have.
All because the studios are calling themselves being inclusive.
Right. Or acting on bad faith when it comes to inclusion.
Well, yes, that right. Exactly.
Yeah, well,
and in any event, there's a certain type of cat that has had some shit to say about it. So that's kinda like that's kinda like where I am with that. It's like, well, why are both of them? I mean, I get the Black Widow thing because, you know, that could be a compelling story. It's like, well, how does Black Widow become Black Widow? Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get down.
Right.
But we could have done a Wonder Woman 2019 movie and it would have just been what it is.
True.
And then the fact that Captain Marvel was basically a retro movie in order to set it up for Endgame.
Right.
You know, it just kind of like, is this to make it less threatening to overly sensitive white guys? I mean...
Right, to put are you talking about placing it within that setting of the 80s?
Right.
Or earlier time, so that it's not as...
Yeah.
It's not as threatening in the now.
Right.
Right? Is that... Okay.
And I could be completely off base here, but I just find it interesting that
it might be a little bit of both. You know what I think? A lot of it is we're now at an age where our 80s is nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
And a lot of these
wow.
going from Stranger Things
mm-hmm.
to Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah.
I think there's even American Horror Story 1984.
Right.
I think
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm.
Right.
We wanna still hold on. I guess it's like the movies where they set everything in the '50s and wanted to hold on to that kind of mm-hmm. I think part of it is holding on to the
nostalgia.
That's
true, because America watched Happy Days for how long?
I mean I think there's a level of holding on to nostalgia. And I think there is a part of it where if we set these characters in this time frame, it brings about this remembrance of
time when I had control, when it was security.
Well, I mean, think about let's be honest.
Well,
when Wonder Woman was on television, it was the late 70s, early 80s for us.
I don't know, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So to make sure that we come back, we set it in that time frame to make sure that even, you know, kind of the older crowd, but then the millennials get a kind of a peek into the window of where we came from.
Right. It'll be a little vacation for them back in time.
Exactly.
You know what
but
I mean?
I also do think that it's a safe space.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a space where you're saying, okay, this was a decade where anything kind of went.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to now where we have to kind of be, because we're getting into a point into a segment of time now where everything is very gender sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
It seems it
or gender awakened.
I wouldn't say gender awakened because I think that gender awakening has always been there. It's just that what's been allowed.
Mm.
Okay. I wouldn't say it has it. It's always like now with Lando Calrissian being gender fluid.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Now, question: was he gender fluid in Empire Strikes Back,
or is
he gender fluid because Solo made him seem gender fluid?
Solo made him seem gender fluid.
And now I accept the fact that there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
You know. It's, but we have to also remember at the time these films and these things came out, that was a sensitive thing.
Yeah.
Like you had to allude to certain things because, unless you were Mel Brooks,
Okay.
And you just slap people in the face with it. Or even John Hughes, who was never afraid to say, this is exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have to accept it and deal with it and move forward.
Okay.
But I think that I agree with Stephen, because I think there's a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's safety in the past.
Right.
Because now you're accepting something you couldn't accept then, but basically telling all of us now, yeah, that thing that was in the back of your head that you thought, yes, that's exactly what it was.
You know what that reminded me of now? It's Stranger Things at the last episode when the girl who was hanging out with the ice cream shop.
Yes.
And she came out like, and he's like,
oh, I was mad at
you. She's like,
No. I was mad at you because she liked the, you liked the girl that I liked. Right. And he was sort of like,
huh?
Right. And then he gets into the whole thing. Oh, so you're just mad at me because you know, sort of like, okay, well, fine. That's
right.
You know,
if that actual thing was happening
in the 80s,
as like an actual TV show in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
that should be like a serious.
That was well,
dude.
Like,
that,
I mean, even look like, at
look at Vernon Shirley. I'm still trying to figure out that you know they broached the subject of Vernon Shirley.
Look at Dynasty. Dynasty, when Dynasty was on TV, they broke. I remember that episode where I think it was Blake's son came out as being gay, and it was,
wow.
Oh my God, he's gay. Right. You know, and it's like,
I got a better one for you. Soap.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Soap.
Billy.
Yes.
Fucking soap.
And it had to be done in a comedic way.
Yeah.
You couldn't do it in a serious way in the 80s.
Even though there were a lot of scenes that were damn near on some tearjerker shit that involved him and the whole. But I mean, like the religious right that unfortunately is still with us, led by Jerry Falwell.
Yes, who
of course managed to fall well.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Falwell, he led a boycott of the show because there was a gay character. There was an alien from outer space that ended up having a baby with what's-her-face.
Right.
Uh-huh. There was a demonic possession scene.
I remember that, yes.
Whole big demonic possession storyline, actually.
On the storyline, yeah.
You know.
Wow.
And it's funny because it's like, excuse me, that was when we thought, I mean, I think as a country, obviously, the Jerry Falwells of the world had their issues, but I think that's where we thought that the country was headed to a more inclusive place. Mm-hmm. And I think that's and stuff like that.
I mean,
and then the Cosby Show and everything else like that.
Yeah.
Everybody got relaxed. Everybody stopped paying attention.
Uh-huh.
And then that is why we are in the fucked up position we are in now, because everybody went. Forgot about the struggle and this and that and whatever, and we moved on.
I think it was more along the lines of this idea that we've talked about earlier before the show to start. Security.
Mm-hmm.
We have 9/11 came around.
Mm-hmm.
Terrorism became a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you had people coming in with all types of wacky ideas on why this happened.
Yeah.
Why is this happening to us? Why is my security being threatened? Why are they coming for? Why do they hate us? All this, pretty much the wrong question were being asked. So you're getting the wrong answers and the wrong reactions. I'm just saying.
And I do want to piggyback on something I said before about Lando. I'm mistaken because we had Boy George, we had Eurythmics, and we had Dead or Alive.
Dead or Alive.
True.
But the only thing I want about that is, in terms of musical acts and performances, there was always a fluidity in terms of visual performances and its performance. Because you have between, there was a point where there was no difference between how the heavy metal performers dressed and how the hip hop performers dressed. African Bambaataa.
Well,
That whole crew. Mm. They had some of the cast was mascara and tight leather pants.
Ready for the world.
Ready for the world. And then you have Motley Crue. Well, mascara.
Yeah.
Tight leather pants.
I'm gonna close this out because we're
going over. Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna close this out by saying something that I always thought would have been a great, great concert tour.
Yeah.
Parliament Funkadelic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Kiss.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dude.
Could you imagine?
Dude. The mothership come down and Kiss coming out of the mothership.
Could you imagine?
With the bass going boom.
How boom, bananas. Boom. Collaboration.
Would have been.
So basically what we need to do now is build a time machine. So folks, that is episode 5. We're getting out of here. And we are a little over an hour, but not that much over.
We have to close out with this. Rest in peace, Renee Arbogianis.
Oh, yes.
And Carol Spiney.
Hey.
Big Bird and Odo.
Big Bird and Odo.
Big Bird and Odo. Thank you,
Mark. Yeah, good part.
You're welcome.
Thank yes, you. Yes. We would have been remiss. Mm-hmm. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show for tonight on this rainy yet picturesque evening in Prospect Heights, Brooklyn. We're out of here. Beef, wine, and shenanigans. Peace.
Bye-bye.